Hey, you guys, before we jump into the podcast today, I want to send you a special invitation. Next week, I'm going to be teaching a class for 2 days. You can pick your time. And I want you to come if you feel this kind of like weight and worry about bad things happening to your kids, whether it be sickness or injury or emergency. We get this message all the time, and we have created this special class for you guys to come and join me. So next Tuesday and Wednesday, the 21st and 22nd, go pick your time, and I can't wait to see you there. Hey, we are Shan and Ryan Tripp, parents of five on a journey to discover what it takes to raise great humans while enjoying the heck out of life along the way.
Sometimes it's easy to let the weight of everyday life, parenting, marriage, finances, get in the way. But what we've found is that as you break out of the norm and do life a little bit differently, a whole new world can open up to you.
So if you're ready, we would love to invite you on this journey with us as we pull back the curtains and have a whole lot of fun along the way.
And it's true what they say, life's a trip. This is our story. How will you write yours?
Let's go.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to the show today. Hi, sweetheart.
Hello, everybody.
Here we sit in our office with our mics, ready to just chat and just do another podcast with you. We've really enjoyed this.
Right. Ryan's got his Ollie Pop. His legs are crossed. He's ready to have a good time.
What a visual you've painted for our listeners. Sorry about that. No, we've got a great podcast today. And, you know, usually when we're thinking of what to talk about, we're just trying to take little examples in our daily life of the things that we encounter and that we know you encounter as parents and as married couples and as families. And we just kind of break that down, and Shannon and I, just in kind of a free-flowing form, we just go back and forth. And so we hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please leave us a review or share it with others that you think would enjoy it, and that helps us grow and reach more people. And what do we got today, honey?
Well, the message today, which actually Ryan came up with, I would say most of the time I come up with it because I'm talking to you guys a lot. You know, you're in my messages, you're emailing me, I'm just hearing from you a lot. And so I'm hearing what you want us to talk about. But this time Ryan came in hot with this fantastic idea. And
I came in hot, like
I loved it.
I was looking hot or what?
Both. Because this is something that has been major on my mind with my little girl, who is just being introduced to competitive sports and seeing the emotional kind of toll it's taking on her, you know, to navigate the emotions and confidence and teammates and wins and losses and all of this stuff. And Ryan came to me and brought this idea to talk about today, and it just immediately brought me back to what I've been trying to really sink my feet into learning more about and becoming really intentional about. So Ryan, introduce it to us.
Well, let's just go back. Youth sports, it's great. It can be crazy, but it really is great. Shannon and I grew up playing sports. My dad always coached me growing up in Little League baseball and basketball. Shannon's dad coached her and the girls in basketball. So we love basketball. I was a great baseball player. I loved baseball. I loved just being out there with the team and running around. And you learn a lot in sports. So it's fun. It's great to be a part of the team. I ran cross country for a couple years. So it was fun to kind of be in a team, but also individual sport, you know, because I could really determine how well I did just based on my own performance. It really wasn't anybody else but me. And so anyway, it's been fun for Shannon and I, as our kids get older and get involved with sports, to just observe how they are, how they perform, and really the mental side of it, how they are when they lose, or how they are when somebody's mean to them or doesn't pass the ball, or if the refs are not good. How do they behave? And so there's a lot of lessons that we can teach them and a lot of coaching we can give them. And we're just right in the middle of that.
And we've talked about it so much when we were in Puerto Rico, truthfully, a big reason why we moved back to Utah was to give our older kids opportunities in these sports programs that they didn't have on the island. And we talked about it a lot, and some people didn't understand, like, wait, what? You would actually move back just to give them an opportunity in sports. And while, you know, we definitely aren't any, I would say, like your typical kids, we don't want to throw our kids into the system of youth sports these days because it's overwhelming. There's so much pressure. I think that it takes a lot of childhood from kids. With that said, I think there's so many incredible benefits of sports and organized sports and learning how to do just what you said. So how do you navigate through all these different ups and downs and wins and losses and refs and people saying mean things to you and teammates you like or you don't like? And how does that relate to life? Like, how do those lessons translate into you growing older and living your life as like a great human, you know? And I think that that's kind of what we have identified, is it just gives our kids a really cool opportunity to learn things at a quicker pace and for us to be able to have fun doing it.
I want to comment on last night, Shannon playing in a city basketball rec league tournament with other women. And it was the championship game. Of course, her team made it to the championship game and it got a little heated. It was pretty close at the end and it got heated. And one of the girls on the other team was like, kind of shouted out, like kind of towards the crowd. And you know, there's 35, 40 people there. All the husbands with the kids crying. It's like 10 o'clock.
30 of the people were all of our children. And then there was 10 parents.
This mom is like, relax, everybody. It's just a city league game. And it's so true. But it's just like, man, sports, you just get tied up in the emotion. And, you know, there was a little complaining about the ref, you know? So it just made me laugh. And I just thought like, man, this happens with a 5-year-old kid's soccer team. And it happens with 30 to 40 year old women playing basketball.
But as I was there, cause I'm as competitive as they come, but I've learned to rein it in my older
you
years.
You really have. I was impressed.
And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, it's a very close game. It's the championship. I'm 6 months pregnant. So I'm obviously playing at about 65% probably. Well, maybe not at the end. I bumped that up a little bit, but I was thinking to myself, here I am, having these conversations with my daughter every single week, at least every few days, about just controlling what you can control and let everything else go. So when you go out and play, if you're so worried about the calls that the refs are making or what people in the crowd are saying or what your teammate, you know, if she has a bad attitude or if that shot goes in or not, those are things you cannot control. And if you're wasting your energy worrying about those things, it's taking your energy from helping you just perform your best. And it's taking your energy from having fun. It's taking your energy from focusing. It's taking your energy from making good decisions. And we've had that talk so many times of just controlling what you can control and let everything else go. And that is exactly what Ryan Tripp came to me today and said we should talk about.
Well, I have an analogy I want to share.
Okay.
I was thinking, you know, how can we relate basketball to life? And, you know, this is not a golf analogy, so you're welcome. I'll spare you that. But so we've noticed with our daughter, and she's almost a teenager now, but she's had this great basketball season, and Shannon and her dad have been coaching. And we've just noticed after the games that she can get down on herself, but she can also, we're noticing that she will kind of blame things or get frustrated with things that are out of her control. And so what we've tried to do is we've tried to educate her and be like, hey, yeah, refs are going to make bad calls.
Which I've totally been there. I mean, we all have, right? Like,
for sure.
I have been there so many times in my life and still as an adult will sink back into that of like letting external factors rule my emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to keep your composure out there.
Yeah.
Or her team will get down by 8 or 10 or 12 points. And you can see
it's over.
Yeah. Game's over.
Yeah.
You know, and there's still a whole second half left to play. So I had this thought with life and to liken it to us as adults. How often do we complain about some other person or some other organization that affects our life and we let it get us down? So maybe that's the government, right? Oh, whoever's in the White House. Oh, I got to pay a bunch of taxes because of this. Oh yeah. The, you know, water rights of the local city, you know, I don't know. Just people love to complain about politics and government. Right. And we just turn off the news. We don't watch the news because it's just constant this side versus this side and the government and, oh, I, you know, our freedoms. And I think that can be a real thing. We don't want to just lay over and not have our rights as specifically as Americans. Right. So it's
my dad's listening to this right now,
but here's my point is, can you control, you know, I think there's people that are making a difference in government, but I think there's the majority of people who just sit and love to go back and forth with their opinions about government and leaders.
Ryan's getting kind of like, he's getting kind of like heated over here. I'm heated in the basketball game. You're heated talking about like the news and how it ruins people's lives.
I've just always been amazed at how quick we are to be like, oh, my boss, you know, my job is hard because of my boss or this coworker or that person in the White House or that our governor or our senator. And some of those things may be true. And if you need to change your situation and get a new job, or I guess move to a different state, then fine. But the whole focus is, what can you control? And it's controlling what we can do in our homes and in our own attitude.
And in that point, the reason why I said my dad's listening, because he is up to date on all the world, you know, news. He needs to know what's happening, what we need to be prepared for, all of that. And for me as a daughter, I'm like, fantastic. You stay up to date, keep me updated. You know, do I need to know anything? But what I love about my dad is he does control what he can control. You know, he is as prepared as anyone else if crap hits the fan. You know, I'm running to my dad's house. And that's something that I feel like is super respectable and cool, is you're able to take that information, internalize what you need to control what you can control, but you don't let it dictate your emotions and control your mind and your life. And I think that that is when it borderline becomes debilitating for some of us, whatever it is, you know, whether it be your job or politics or your friends at school or, you know, all these external factors that can just internally eat us alive.
Yeah, no. And I think it's great for people to stay up to date and be aware. I've never been great at that. I just don't always care. But I mean, whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House, I'm going to still wake up. I'm going to hug my kids. I'm going to cook breakfast. I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to spend time with you. We're going to do the things that we need to do in our work for the day. We're going to go to church on Sunday.
And the one thing you can do is you can go vote. And that's how much you can control it.
So get out and vote. Whole podcast is about getting out and casting your vote. Who did you vote for last time? When was your last vote, Shannon?
Stop it. So you really,
anyway, let's bring it back. So my analogy with basketball was those referees or those coaches in your life that are, you know, like I said, I just liken it to, maybe it's a government official, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a coworker, maybe
it could be a husband,
maybe it's a spouse. Yeah.
It could be a child.
Oh, I'd be so much happier if I had this person.
It could be a neighbor. It could be literally, it could be a sister-in-law, a mother. It could be anyone in your life or any group of people that you find. And that's actually like an amazing exercise. If you really think about it, like think of all the people that you talk to in a day, all the people that you communicate in a week or a month. Are these like energy givers, you know? Are they like people that, or are they people that maybe in some way take your energy or change, or in your, you find yourself changing who you are because of them? Or how much are these external like people in your life affecting who you are and the choices that you're making?
Now you have to surround yourself with great people because they'll bring out the best in you. But I think we all know deep down, at the end of the day, I get to choose who I am. I get to choose my happiness, and I can't write that off and blame it on anybody else.
It's like, you know, I've been reading this book on just helping your kiddos be confident and just being confident yourself. And just, Ryan's laughing at me because I don't read a book. Okay.
You're so
I'm
studious.
Listening to the audio.
You're such a voracious reader.
I don't open books very often, but, and there's an audio book that talks about just building confidence. And part of that is just releasing the outcome, like learning how to release the outcome and focus on only things you can control, because none of us can actually, we can't control the outcome of literally anything. I mean, truly, you know, God is in control of all things. And so we are only in control of our choices, and our choices, sure, sometimes lead to an amazing outcome and sometimes they don't, but we can't control the outcome. We can only control our choices. And so leaning into just controlling what you can control and releasing the outcome, it almost feels like, okay, that's way less pressure. You think about when you have a baby and you're just like, I've never loved something so much. I want him to be the smartest. I want him to be the fastest. I want him to be the kindest. I want him to, you know, be all of this stuff, but I can't control any of that. What I can control is how much love I give him. I can control up to a certain point what food he's eating. I can control, you know, this and that, but I can't actually control this human. And I got an interesting message today, actually, from a mom who said, the sweetest mom, just genuinely had this question. And she said, I worry so much about my one child. So tell me, if I were to have a second, would my worry actually double? She's worried that her worry would double because she worries so much with this kid.
She's worried about her worry.
She's worried about her worry. Would this worry double with another kid? And my response was immediately, I immediately thought to myself, with every kid, I have started to worry less and less and less because I realize how much is actually out of my control. When you have one kid and they're kind of under your wings and you're like, oh, don't touch that. You can't watch the screen. You know, don't put that in your, you're just kind of like, they're just yours and you can control them for a pretty long time. And then the more kid you have and the older they grow, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much I can't control. But if I can just really lean into the stuff that I can control, generally the outcome is always better.
We really all worry. I worry about things. I think about the future. I think there's some people that really, it's debilitating, the level of worrying. But what do they say? That the our worries today rob us of the joys of tomorrow? Because worrying really never served anyone. We can think and plan ahead and be like, you know, kind of like pondering and thinking about what's going to happen or what might this be like. Let me kind of get prepared. But to just sit and worry about things that are out of our control, it just does not help us at all.
Somebody said to me one time, she said, learn to just only worry once, don't worry twice. You know, if you have to worry, that's fine. Sometimes we actually do have to worry. I can't find my kid. Where's my child? You know, or I just got laid off of my job or whatever it is. You know, there's that worry that comes in to try to keep us safe, to try to protect us. That's like a very normal emotion that I think we all need to feel once in a while. But it's like, the people and the things that make us, they don't make us. We only make ourselves worry 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. When really, we don't need to be worried yet. We can be thoughtful. We can be prepared. But you can only control, you can control the preparation. You can control the process in a way, but you cannot control the outcome. So why are you worried about the outcome when the outcome hasn't even happened yet?
Well, and I think a good example that you've shared this story so many times is when Jack choked in that restaurant and you saved his life. And over the last handful of years, you have been on a mission to teach every parent what to do if their child chokes. So that happened. And in the moment we were worried, but you stepped up with confidence. But we don't sit around and worry that our kids are going to choke. We don't replay that and just continue to worry like, oh my gosh, that happened and it was so scary and I just hope it doesn't happen again and I just hope I'm ready. Like, no, your whole thing and what you talked about with your class that you're doing again soon, this Rise Above Worry for Moms, is just, hey, things can happen. Bad things happen. We can't control everything, but we can be prepared.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course there's, you know, very traumatizing events that maybe some people have to get extra help for.
Yeah.
But for the majority of people, we worry more than we need to worry. And as you get older, I think you realize there's not a lot you actually have to spend your energy worrying about. You know, we're so not in control of so many things, but what we should worry about is making sure we're focused on those things we can control. So even when we come, you know, we think about the decisions that we've made to pack up everything, sell it all, move to Hawaii. We had no idea the outcome of that, but that wasn't our focus. Our focus was only on the choice we were making to make a change in our life. That's it. We just knew there needed to be a change. And that was the only focus. And I think that's why the outcome turned out so good. It wasn't like, I'm going to go to Hawaii and we're going to make even more money, or we're going to get this job, or we're going to get, you know, all super healthy and tan, or we're going to whatever. Like, it just happens the outcome is always better when you only focus on what you can control and let go of everything else. I truly believe that.
So to go back to the sports analogy and our daughter who is learning how to behave and how to, you know, her attitude and her effort. If she's worried about the score and that her team is down by 10 points, that's not helping her, and her energy would be much better utilized in just leaving it all out there on the floor. So my analogy for life is, how often do we look around and we think, oh, you know, the neighbor's up by 10 points. My house isn't as big, or, you know, oh, my neighbor with that fancy car, or that job, you know, maybe keeping score in life, right? Or my sister, she's done all this, you know, what have I done? So we kind of do that, right? We just, I don't know why we do, but we just kind of keep score. And we've talked about comparison being the thief of joy. So we just have to let go of that. We can't control what other people are doing. And you know what? I love those stories where somebody in their 40s or 50s, or maybe after they've raised their kids as a stay-at-home mom, and they've had this business they've always wanted to launch, and they go off and they launch it and they have all this success and they just are so passionate about what they do. I love those stories because it's not about, you know, it's not about how fast you can get. It's kind of the tortoise and the hare race, right? We got this, hopefully this good long life to live. And just continuing to show up every day and get better every day. Because it's not, oh, well, I turn 40 next year and what have I done? And look at, you know, these other guys in their 40s. Like, yeah. No, we're just taking each day. We're trying to get better each day and trying to enjoy our life on our terms and not worry if we're keeping score and if we're down compared to what other people are doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just becomes dangerous territory when you start. And I think there is a healthy amount of comparison, you know, like if we're going to keep it at sports, the other player, you're running a sprint and the other player is beating you. Okay, well, lock it in, you know, run faster. Let's go beat her. But I do think, you know, what I've talked about again with my daughter and sports is there's really only two areas you can fully control. And this, I think, relates to life so well. And I think about this in my home and outside my home and in my friendships and in our marriage and as a mother to my children. I tell her that you can only control your effort and your attitude. And if you think about that in whatever you're struggling with right now in your life, or whatever you think you could get better at, or whatever you don't have confidence in, or whatever's kind of like messing with your head, all you can control is your effort in being intentional and doing your best and your attitude around it. So if you just take it to parenthood, how much effort are you putting in to pouring into your family, you know? Or are you watching the news and you're scrolling Instagram and you're, you know, you're trying to just plan the girls' nights and the whatever, you know, all that stuff is fine. But where are we really putting our energy and our effort? And maybe it is in friendships. Maybe you're pouring a whole bunch into your family, but maybe you don't have any friends and you're like, I need to put some more effort into my relationships in my life. And you pour in more effort there. You can control that. That's the only thing you control. You can't control if anybody likes you. You can't control if, you know, your kids are going to respond in a certain way. But your effort and the attitude you have towards whatever you're doing are the two things we can control. And in my experience, it has always turned out better when you can just focus on those two things.
The worst thing we can do is fall into that victim mentality.
Yeah.
Where you're just a victim of your circumstances. That is so toxic and so dangerous. And maybe we've felt ourselves go into that at times, or we've observed other people, and you can spot it right away. You can hear that language and see that body language and the attitude and the behavior of people that are victims of whatever around them, whatever they choose to be a victim of. And it is just not helpful. You're just stuck and you're going backwards. You're not moving forward.
Yep. One last thing, because I really have been listening to this book and these podcasts
Where's this book, honey? This book you've been reading. I haven't seen
about it. Just, you know, gaining confidence and controlling what you can control. And this is just so applicable to adults and even down to children. So if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I need this in my life, or maybe you're listening and you're like, these are some things that I really want to teach my kids. When we're trying to help our confidence, or we're trying to increase our kids' confidence, I think just recognizing in ourselves and our kids those innate positive qualities that we have, and recognizing them and talking about them and celebrating them, and just, you know, your child brings you a piece of art, and instead of like, that's a great picture, you know, it's like, wow, you spent a lot of time on those eyes. Look at those colors. You are such a creative kid. You know, that means so much more to him than the outcome of a good picture. Mm. And so it's just the same thing for your kids or adults. If your husband, you know, gets a raise at work or whatever.
Are you offering me a raise?
If your husband gets a raise at work, it's like, oh, good job. You finally got that raise, you know, or it's like, well, of course, because you've worked so hard for this your hard work.
You're shining a light paid on off. The
You're such a hard worker.
Effort and the
exactly
the what's below the water, the big iceberg, not just
yes, the and spending and the so much more time on the intention behind what it is, giving yourself credit for the intention instead of the outcome. And I think that helps us too. So as we're like talking about controlling what we can control and all of that, having confidence to do that, I think takes really focusing in on our effort and our attitude and just like our innate positive qualities that allow us to be better at that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That makes me think too, that you don't really know. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong on this, but you know, we raise these kids, and our kids are just kind of growing up. And like we said, our oldest is coming into that teenage year. So, you know, we're certainly not on the other end of it, but I mean, how do we pat ourselves on the back as parents for just like our ongoing effort to show up? Because we don't really know, like we know how they are now, but we don't really know the outcome or the result that we're hoping for, which is that they grow up and they become great people, and that they move out of the house and not live in our basement forever and go get jobs and start their own families and have kids and do something they love and be successful. But we think we're on that path and that trajectory to get them there. But I don't know, it just makes me think. And with your mom and dad, you go, hey. And with my mom and dad, you go, hey, you know, you raised some great kids. Like, what did you do for 25, 30 years? And it was just all the little things over three decades.
You know what though? Immediately when you say that, I can see my parents' effort and I can see their attitude in raising us.
There you go.
Their effort. They never missed a game. We ate every meal of the week together at night around the dinner table. They were available to us. You know, their effort was always there. And I never felt like my parents didn't want me. Yeah. I always knew they loved me. And I always knew they were like cheering me on and they were my biggest fans, and they just, their attitude, I think they thoroughly enjoyed raising us kids. And I felt that growing up.
And I look at my parents and same thing. I know that they loved us and still do unconditionally, whether we made mistakes, whether we performed well in sports, like they just loved us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a good way for us and you and I, Shani, and we agree on those things, that we want to create a home where our kids know that we love them and we support them, and whether they go on to become these great basketball players or whether they go on to create some incredible new invention or business or whatever. They know that they're valued. They know that God and mom and dad love them. And then we support them.
Yeah. And just going back to that sweet message that mom sent me saying, like, does worry double, you know? I think, and my message back to her was, worry certainly doesn't double. It's gotten easier with time, but love does. And that is just the truth. Like, your heart just gets bigger and bigger with each kid. And you realize that God is fully in control. He sent these kids the way that they are. And there's so much, I love that saying where you nurture their nature. You know, it's not nature versus nurture, but it's like you nurture their nature. And that is such a powerful thing to learn as parents, is like, cool, this child is their own human. I can't control who they become. I can't control anything, but I can control how much effort I put into making sure they know I love them, how much effort I can put into making sure they know they're seen and they're heard and where they belong. And, you know, in our family, like their relationship with their Lord, it's so in our control to do those things. And that's where our focus needs to be.
Well, there you have it, folks.
And making sure, dang it, that you're prepared when something goes wrong. So make sure you guys jump on the link in the show notes and come join me next week. I'll be teaching live. Can't wait to see you guys there. I love y'all so much. But in those moments when bad things happen to these kids we love so much, there's nothing that matters more than if you're ready to show up for them and keep them safe. So can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks, sweetheart. I always learn so much when I sit here across from you and just listen to all your wisdom. Yeah, I do.
Aww.
So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
We love you guys. Have a great week.